Siguro'y narinig nyo na ang Killer Highway. Ito na ang bansag sa Commonwealth Avenue. It has earned that notoriety because of a spate of accidents, some of them tragically fatal. Now, it will be silly to blame the road itself, because behind the accidents, of course, are careless drivers, and also don't exclude careless pedestrians. And that carelessness betrays the Filipinos' flawed culture of bending rules, and traffic rules are just among them. A frantic concern was provoked when one victim happened to be a well-known journalist and a UP professor. Yan biglang nagkumahog sa magagawa para ingatan yung highway na yun. Pero may tatanong natin, paano yung mga ibang biktima? What about the other victims who did not merit much attention at all? And what if we were the victims? And that leads me to a question that may be pressing on us given the state of our church today. Are Christians safe from accidents? From accidents, I turn to something closer to home and closer to our experience. Are Christians safe from crimes? Now, we may face this issue with opposite attitudes. Some think that Christians, because they are preserved by God, are absolutely safe from accidents or crimes. Now that is a mere delusion. When taught, it becomes a cruel deception which encourages Christians to be foolhardy. Kapag itinuro natin na ang Kristiyano ay tiyak na ligtas mula sa mga sakuna at mula sa krimen, nag-uumpisa yan na sabihin sa kanilang huwag mag-ingat sa mga bagay-bagay na dapat na merong pag-iingat. And that becomes a cruel doctrine. But on the other end of the extreme are those who think this issue is just a waste of concern, and their attitude is one of, well, so be it. If I become a victim of accident or of crime for that matter, it's God's will, so be it. And I don't concern myself with the issue whether I can have, or I can look to God as my safekeeper. Well, I believe that neither absoluteness nor indifference should characterize our disposition on the concern of safety. We cast ourselves on the Lord as He reveals His will in His word, but let Scripture mold our attitude. But I'm sure in these times that we struggle with what we have had to go through, we ask that question, are we safe? Can we even appeal to the Lord for safety, whether from accidents or from crimes? I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 121 for an isolated meditation this afternoon. Psalm 121, we'll read the whole psalm of only 8 verses. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now it is important to note this Psalm 121 is part of that group of psalms called Pilgrim Psalms. If you're using the New King James, Psalm of Ascents. If you're using the Old King James, Psalm of Degrees. But I prefer to call it as Pilgrim Psalms. These are the group of psalms extending from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 used by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem during the 3 annual feasts as required by the Old Testament ceremonial law. Doon sa Lumang Tipan, may 3 pangtaunan na mga piging o pista na nire-require lahat ng kalalakihan ng Israel ay pumunta sa Jerusalem upang mag-alay ng handog. At sa paglalakbay nila mula sa kanilang iba't ibang bayan patungo ng Jerusalem, itong mga awit na ito mula Psalm 120 hanggang Psalm 134 ang kanilang inaawit bilang bahagi ng kanilang paglalakbay. So each of these psalms has themes that resonate in the context of pilgrimage, traveling long distance. And there are many themes that are appropriate for pilgrimage. Now, the pilgrimage itself has become a figure of life as a whole. So what is said of pilgrimage can be said of life as a whole. When we travel towards a direction, that is what life is all about. We also are pilgrims. We don't stay in a place forever or throughout our lifetime. We are going to Jerusalem. That's the mindset of the pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem. And that becomes a figure of life in totality. Our life here on earth is a pilgrimage going to heaven. But then, as we travel in our pilgrimage, certain themes resonate. Now, our psalm addresses the theme of safety. The words keep and keeper are repeated. And I don't have to convince you that in long distance travel, safety is an important issue. In long distance travel, especially one that is done by foot or by horse or by camel, any number of dangers lurk in the background. And safety was an issue then. There's the reference to the hills in verse 1, and the reference itself is ambiguous. Some translations have taken this as a figure of confidence. I look to the hills. But I follow the interpretation that sees the hills as in fact a source of threat. There can be ambush lurking in those hills. Robbers, marauders can be hiding in those hills and attack the pilgrims when they least expect it. So the reference to the hills is in fact a sense of threat, a sense of danger as they look to those hills. What dangers could be hiding in those hills? But then the answer that the psalmist here asserts is, my help comes from the Lord. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. So on this theme of safety, I have this message for us this afternoon. The believer may appeal to the Lord's safekeeping for his life pilgrimage. Ang mananampalataya ay maaring umapila sa Panginoon bilang tagapagligtas, bilang tagapag-ingat sa panahon ng kanyang paglalakbay sa buhay. We may appeal to the Lord's safekeeping for our life pilgrimage. Now, I want to make myself clear. I am not here claiming an absolute promise of inviolable safety for the believer. As I said earlier, it's delusion. Yung mga nagsasabi na tiyak ang pag-iingat ng mananampalataya na walang anumang sakuna na maaring mangyari sa kanila, hindi sila maaring maging biktima ng krimen, yan ay sinungalingan at yan ay pandaraya lamang sa sarili. The believer is in the safety of the Lord's keeping rather as long as his pilgrimage is intended by the Lord. Habang intensyon ng Panginoon na siya'y maglakbay, siya'y iniingatan. At ang ibig sabihin niyan, maari nating iapila sa Panginoon. That is at most that this psalm is saying, and yet it is saying much. That for as long as we are pilgrims as intended by God, we are safe. And we can appeal to the Lord for His safekeeping as long as we are in this pilgrimage. The psalmist in particular appeals to the Lord in the two relations he sustains to the believer for safekeeping. First of all, his power displayed in creation. And secondly, his presence promised in covenant. So those are the two things that we can appeal to for safekeeping as long as we are in pilgrimage. God's power displayed in creation, God's presence promised in covenant. First then, His power displayed in creation. Listen to the psalmist when he says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Ang aking saklolo ay nanggagaling sa Panginoon na siyang lumikha ng langit at lupa. Ang inaapila niya rito ay ang kanyang kapangyarihan bilang manlilikha. The psalmist is appealing to God as creator of heaven and earth. Along their journey, the pilgrims would have many occasions of reflecting on the sight of nature. They would have seen mountains. They would have traveled through rivers and bodies of water. They would have seen hills and of course, trees and vegetation. Dadaanan nila lahat ng mga bagay na yon ng kalikasan at napakagandang isipin na sabang sila'y dumaraan, naglalakbay, nakikita nila ang ganda ng kalikasan ay masasabi nilang lahat ng ito ay likha ng Diyos. Yun ang inaapila dito ng umawit. Now from one perspective, those various bodies of nature may be a source of danger. Hills may hide marauders, ambuscades, and robbers. In those clouds or seas, there may be storms. But the point is when seen as being in the hand of Him who made them, they are only at His bidding. And in that sense, it can be translated into an appeal. Because God made them, the believer can appeal. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that our conviction of God's power in providence is molded by belief in His power of creation. Now, I may be saying things here that are theological, but I want to explain myself simply. When we appeal or when we deal with the issue of what may happen to us, safekeeping, accidents, crimes, we are appealing to providence. That's providence, what happens to us. But our acceptance and appreciation of providence will be blind without creation. Yan ang maliwanag na turo ng salita ng Diyos. Hindi natin mapapahalagahan, hindi natin matatanggap ng nararapat ang providensya ng Diyos kung hindi katambal nito ay ang paniniwala sa paglilikha ng Diyos. Hindi sila maaring paghiwalayin. And the Old Testament is replete with this conviction that what God does in providence is based upon His having made heaven and earth. Now let me cite to you several passages. Listen to Psalm 115, verses 14 and 15. Here the psalmist is invoking blessing. And notice, in invoking blessing, which is good providence, where does he appeal? Psalm 115, 14 and 15, "May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth." Eh dito, yung kanyang apila na pagpalain sila sa kanilang kabuhayan, sa kanilang pamilya, ay kanyang ibinatay sa paniniwala na itong Diyos na makapagpapala ng kanilang kasaganaan at kabuhayan ay Diyos na may likha ng langit at lupa. Listen to another pilgrim psalm, Psalm 124, 7 and 8. On occasion of actual deliverance from danger, the psalmist said in 124, 7 and 8, "We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Doon sa una, umaapila sa pagpapala ng Diyos. Dito sa tekstong binabasa natin, ay pagpapasalamat sa kanyang pagliligtas sa isang aktwal na panganib. Itinulad niya sa isang patibong, sa isang ibon, nakaligtas siya. At saan niya ibinabatay ito? Sapagkat ang Diyos ang may likha ng langit at lupa. Deliverance in providence is coupled with belief in creation. That God owns heaven and earth, that is why whatever happens in providence whether blessing or deliverance is something we can attribute to the Lord. When we express gratitude for actual deliverance, it is deepened by our belief that God is Creator. My favorite is Psalm 146, verses 3 and following. Psalm 146, verses 3 and following. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Dito ang pinagsasalungat ay yung umaasa sa tulong ng tao. Pero yung tulong ng tao na yan ay malimit, ipinapakita yung kanilang kaiklian, pinapakita yung kanilang limitasyon. At yung tulong ng tao na yan ay may hangganan. Samantalang kung ang Diyos ay tumulong, ay tuloy-tuloy sapagkat siya ang may likha ng langit at lupa. And the contrast again is stark. When we appeal to safekeeping, we do use caution, we do use instruments, we may appeal to law enforcers and other things, but ultimately, our appeal is to Him who has created all things and therefore to whose providence we may appeal. Now, there are many more, but these references prove that belief in God's power in providence cannot be sustained alone. Without its twin conviction, that all these bodies of nature, whether those bodies of nature bless or transform into calamity, we believe that they are in the hand of God. He is Creator of heaven and earth. And that's an important conviction. Unfortunately, in the laboratory of unbelieving science, the study of nature often leads to cancellation of God. And when there is no God behind nature, we are facing nature that leaves us in foreboding with no sense of safety. What if it becomes a storm? Diba, nung isang itong linggo lamang na ito, nagpahanda ng gusto ang pag-asa. Dahil baka raw yung Tsedeng ay maging katulad ng Ondoy. Abay, nung hindi dumaan, sinisi ang pag-asa. Maiinis ka sa mga taong to. Nung ang Ondoy, sinisi yung pag-asa, tinanggal yung yung direktor ng pag-asa kasi hindi na predict na daraan ng ganung kalakas. Eh ngayong pinedict na daraan at hindi dumaan, sinisi naman ngayon. This is man's shortened understanding of nature. Ultimately, our hope is in God. When Jesus was sending his disciples with a prospect of persecution looming, what comfort did he give them? Listen to these tender words of Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? That's how cheap. You won't miss it if it dies. But, Jesus said, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. Walang malalaglag sa kanila sa lupa na hindi ayon sa pahintulot ng kalooban ng inyong Ama. The point is that what happens to the most insignificant creatures happens only by the Father's will. Do you believe that? The falling of the leaf, the rustling of trees, or if it becomes a super typhoon, everything is by the Father's will. That's why we attribute it to God. Whatever happens in nature and in providence, let it be dictated by our belief in the power of God displayed in creation. This week, the media is making a lot of fun of President Obama because of his mistake during his toast of the Queen of England. Kung napanood nyo yun, eh medyo katawa-tawa nga. Nagbibigay siya ng toast, eh bigla ba namang tumugtog yung God Save the Queen, which is the national anthem of England. Kaya salita siya ng salita ron, tugtog naman ng tugtog yung God Save the Queen at nagtotoast siya sa Queen. Hindi naman siya ma-respond ng Queen dahil tumutugtog nga yung kanilang national anthem. So here was the most powerful man on earth reduced to something of a fool because of a human mistake. But it only shows the most powerful man on earth does not control even the band of musicians. That's not our God. No rustling of leaf, no falling of sparrow, but by the Father's will. Well, what does that tell us on the issue of safety? Well, it tells us this, and this is my challenge. Praise is productive of peace. Yung pagpuri ay namumunga ng kapayapaan. Praise for the creative power of God. When you admire God for His power, it produces peace in any of our circumstances. Consider Jeremiah. He lived at a tumultuous period in Judah's history. But you know what? Just when Babylon was knocking on the door of Jerusalem to invade it, God told him, buy a lot. Can you imagine it? Halimbang sasalakay na ang isang foreign power sa atin at sabihin sa'yo, bumili ka ng lote. Ano ka, hilo? Pero yun ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa kanya. But out of trust in the promise of God that it will only take 70 years of captivity, he did. And now listen to him, Jeremiah 32:16-17. After I had given the deed of purchase to his friend Baruch, I prayed to the Lord saying, Ah, Lord God, it is you who has made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So this is Jeremiah praising God for his creative power, even as he saw the looming approach of Babylonians who will certainly destroy Jerusalem, and indeed they did. But for all that, when God told him buy a lot, he did, and he based it on his belief and conviction that God is a powerful God, that no matter what the power of the Babylonians may be, he will hold fast to the power of God. So Jeremiah was disposed to affirm by faith and by praise that God is powerful, so that in the most tumultuous time, he had peace. Our problem, brethren, is that we belong to a generation pampered in complaint. We belong to a generation that's full of blaming. Our language is not naturally praise. Our language naturally is blame. Find someone to blame. And blaming militates against praise. We have not been trained to meditate on the great attributes of God. We have not been trained to reflect on His glorious power. And as a result, without praise, so is peace strange to us. And what happens? We're full of anxiety. We're a generation full of worry. We are a generation that has made stress tablets number one in the pharmacy. And this, in a generation that boasts itself of its science, it is a generation that's killing itself with stress. Because we have no peace. And the reason is because we can't praise. In the time of Moses' most painful agony, remember, his own people, after
descending from the mountain where he received the Ten Commandments, to his dismay, he found the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. It was utter disappointment for him. And when God determined to punish the people, he interceded on their behalf. But then, what was Moses' utmost request? When he was put there upon the rock by Yahweh, Moses' request was not, change these people for me, or that he would be given every equipment and technique possible to deal with people. He had one request, and you will read that in Exodus 34. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. And when God displayed the glory of his character, it was enough for Moses to continue on. Let not your belief in the glory of God's power be shaken by recent events in our church. Rather, appeal to God. Whether he keeps you safe or not is immaterial ultimately. What we are saying is, as long as we are in pilgrimage, we can appeal to his safekeeping. And his safekeeping may be used for testimony, or if it is withdrawn, it will be used still for his glory. When David Brainerd went to the Indians as a missionary, the Indians were lying in ambush against him. But then they saw him pray. And while he was praying, they saw a rattlesnake crept by his front and appeared prepared to strike. And the Indian said, this must be an enemy of the gods. But then for whatever reason, the snake stopped from striking and moved on. And suddenly the Indian said, this must be a son of God. Well, the point is, our safekeeping may be used by God to his glory, and we appeal to that. And how can God do that? Because God owns the rattlesnake. And if he determines to keep it shut, as he did shut the lion's mouth for Daniel, he can do it. So we appeal to God's power displayed in creation. But there is one thing more. His presence promised by covenant. The second relation that the psalmist appeals to as he appeals for safekeeping is God's presence promised by covenant. Listen to the psalmist as he puts this together. He who keeps you. And he then adds, he who keeps Israel. Yung unang linya niya, he who keeps you is singular. He's talking of the individual. But then he puts that together with the one who keeps Israel, the covenant nation. The covenant God of Israel is the one behind the individual. As God is pledged to watch Israel, the psalmist sees this as extending to the individual Israelite. And this is put in the figure of watching that the psalmist repeats of one who does not slumber. Ang nagbabantay ay siya na hindi natutulog. Siya na hindi inaantok. He will not sleep. He will not even come close to it. So what the psalmist is appealing to is God's watchfulness. God's constant watchfulness is of his people. You know what that means now in the New Testament? If it means in the Old Testament, the covenant God of Israel watches individuals, well, the covenant God of Christ now in the New Testament watches Christians. He watches you individually. Can you still believe that? This is what the covenant God means to us in the New Testament. No longer Israel as a nation, but it is now in Christ. Salvation is still our most important safety guarantee. In his inscrutable wisdom, as we saw 20 days ago. God may withdraw the safety of life, but salvation guarantees our afterlife. And that is still the best safety. Salvation is still the most important guarantee. And I'm addressing those of you here who have yet to come to terms with the saving offer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're praying for safety. Perhaps you're praying for blessing, praying for achievements and fruit to your labors. And all of those things may have their place. But if you are not saved, it only takes one danger to take away your life and find yourself in a way from God, totally separated. And I ask you to make sure that your best guarantee is that you are saved. But there is another way of looking at this. When He saved us, He also gave us a pilgrimage of life. You and I have a pilgrimage to travel. Just as those pilgrims using the pilgrim psalms have a pilgrimage to travel until Jerusalem. But for our part, He has not revealed the length of our pilgrimage. Obviously, it varies for each believer. Yung haba ng ating paglalakbay, pinag-iba-iba sa atin. Within that pilgrimage, however, He watches our safety. No force can assault the believer's safety as long as God intends the believer to finish his pilgrimage. So in our psalm, there is a reference to the sun by day or to the moon by night. You see, these are objects of fear by pagans. But to the believer, there are no objects of fear. Hindi natin kailangang katakutan sila. Within the pilgrimage, the promise is the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. For as long as I am traveling my pilgrimage, which God has not revealed for how long, but for as long as I am in that pilgrimage, no evil can touch me. No force can destroy me. And so, in your case, that's the promise. And there is a very touching and tender promise here. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in. You're going out, when you go out of your door, what dangers lurk? Accident, crime, or whatever. But from your going out until you come in again, the Lord will keep you from the start of the journey to its finish. But I'm appealing to you, don't have hard thoughts of God when faced with hard providence, as what happened on May 9. I say this carefully, advisedly, but reverently. On that day, our God kept our brothers going out, but He determined that His coming in will be in heaven. And for that, we should be willing to say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are left confused, crying, perhaps angry and doubtful. Overcome that. On that day, He went out under God's keeping. He came into heaven still by God's keeping. And every day of our lives, when we go out and come into our door safe, it is as God promised. So when you come into your door safe, it means you're still in pilgrimage. But if on that day the pilgrimage terminates, Revelation 14:13 tells us, blessed is the one who dies in Christ, for he enters into his rest. So we are under escort, so to speak. The first time that black students were allowed into schools in America, white people were waiting with anger in their fanaticism and racial prejudice. Yet, when the black students entered in Alabama, they couldn't do anything because they were under escort by the military. Well, that's how we are. For as long as we are under escort in pilgrimage, nobody can touch us until God determines the pilgrimage is done. And when the pilgrimage is done, whether it's done by old age, by sickness, by accident, or by crime, we give it to Him. Now, what does that mean? As a challenge, we'll enjoy God's presence in worship. That is the most important presence. And then we may extend appealing to that presence in our day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day safekeeping. Remember, the intention of the pilgrim psalms is to worship in Jerusalem as required. And the nobility of that intention somehow gave the pilgrims reason to be confident in the safekeeping of God. Now, that's the attitude that will not allow, on the one hand, indifference, or on the other, foolhardiness. But it is that attitude that, as Paul said, whether I remain or I depart, he wanted to magnify the Lord. If ever he remains, he defined it as being of service in the kingdom of Christ. It is that life definition which will yield a courage that sometimes may even appear to others as risky. But that's the reality of courage. As I was saying in the Sunday school this morning, we have fear of death, but it is a fear that is not a bondage. There are certain things more important to us, and that we would rather die than turn our back to God. And that stance will appear to others as risky. Well, it is not. I can only appeal to Esther's decision to risk appearance before the king. Remember, when there was that edict by the king of Persia, when he was misled and manipulated by his own prime minister, Haman. And so an edict was issued for the slaughter of the Jews, and Mordecai told Esther about it and told her, who knows that you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And what did Esther say in response? I will appear to the king, and if I perish, I perish. That's courage. Courage that is not without fear, but courage that is holding to more important things than life itself. So let not the dangers that lurk around paralyze us in our pilgrimage. As we are in pilgrimage, we can appeal to the safekeeping of God. Don't be foolhardy. Don't take risks that are not necessary. But then, at a certain point, let us not be paralyzed by fear. Because God has determined that as long as we are in pilgrimage, no evil shall touch us. He will keep us. John Ryland was a minister, a Baptist minister, in the 19th century at a time when there were many extremes that were afflicting the Baptist community. And John Ryland sought to be a balanced believer and a balanced minister. And as a result of that, he had threats. Yet he committed himself to the safekeeping of his Lord. And he made immortal a song that is attributed to his name, the one song attributed to his name in our grace hymns. And we will sing that now as our last hymn. In that song, very appropriately, he said, plagues and deaths around me fly. Till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. That's the attitude that will keep you at peace even in times of danger, knowing that your hand is in the hand of your life is in the hand of your safekeeper. Let that be our attitude, even as we reel under the pain of what has happened in Providence. We do not doubt, let us not doubt for one moment that God is a true safekeeper. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, salamat sa ganitong awit na nagpapaalala sa amin na kami ay nasa isang paglalakbay sa buhay namin at maraming panganib na nasa paligid namin, spiritual at maging physical na mga panganib. Wala kang ipinangako na lubos kaming ligtas sa mga sakuna, sakit o krimen. Maring mangyari ang mga bagay na ito sa amin, subalit hindi namin pagdududahan na ikaw pa rin ang tagapag-ingat namin. Ang pag-iingat mo ay ayon sa iyong pangako na habang kami ay nasa aming takdang paglalakbay, ligtas kami sa lahat ng kasamaan. At ito ang aming maaring panghawakan, dito kami aapila sa iyong pag-iingat. We pray, Father, for faith in your creative power. That behind providence, whether afflictive or pleasant, is our conviction that you are the owner of all things that stand in creation. And that we can appeal to you as the creator of heaven and earth so that whatever happens in creation, in providence, we are not left in doubtful foreboding. But rather we believe that it will only transpire as you have been pleased because you are our creator. And so we pray that we can bring together in our lives, in our hearts, both praise and peace. It takes a lot of struggle in a generation that has been pampered with so much complaint. We have been trained to blame rather than to praise. And yet, we need to be men and women of praise so that we may learn that peace which passes all understanding. Grant then, Lord, that we may once again have that admiration for your glorious characters. And like Moses when put in that cleft of the rock at the time of his most disappointing and painful episode, yet could request, please show me your glory. May that be our own appeal and plea in these times that we reel under an afflictive providence. Show us your glory, and that we appeal to you, that you are our safekeeping God, because we have seen your power displayed in creation. We also appeal to your presence as promised by covenant. And if that covenant is true to the Israelites in the Old Testament, so much more true is this to us, for we now appeal to Christ. The Christ who has guaranteed our salvation because of what he has done. And salvation still is the most important safety guarantee. We pray for those who still have to come to terms with the offer of salvation, that today may be the day when they will make sure that they are safe in Christ. That whatever this earthly life brings, there is the guarantee of salvation from sin and in eternity. Yet we live in this world and life of danger. We pray, Lord, for your safekeeping, for those of us who may be facing such danger in one form or another. We appeal to you as our safekeeping God. But help us to believe that safekeeping promise is true for as long as our pilgrimage is in progress. Yet we do not know when that pilgrimage is going to terminate, and we leave it to you and to your sovereign will when that is going to terminate. But we will never doubt that from our going out to our coming in, our journey is safe for as long as we are in that pilgrimage. There may come a day, as it happened, when upon our going out, you decide that our coming in will be in your very presence. And we are left confused, crying, perhaps doubting and angry. Help us, Lord, to mortify all this and believe that you have decided according to your wisdom. And we bow to that wisdom. But we are left here in a world of depravity. And so we pray for those who may have to face these dangers ahead. We pray for our dear departed brother's family, that you would be with them during this period, keep them safe, and make them, help them to start over again. And we pray, Lord, that through all of this, their faith, especially our sister Tina's faith, will remain intact. We even thank you for the fortitude that she has displayed during this tragedy. And we continue to pray for her safekeeping and for us as a church. Grant that we may look to you for our own safekeeping. And during this period, when we reel under this tragedy, help us never to have any hard thoughts of you, but that you are still the good God who is true to your promise, that as long as we are in pilgrimage, we are safe. And we appeal to you as our safekeeper and ultimately our salvation in Jesus Christ. So be with us and accept our praise, accept our appeal, for we pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.